To review, we've been doing a multi-Sunday series built off the lectionary as scheduled, but to try to address how it is we as people of faith, people who claim God to be our Lord and Master, ought to be in today's world. What presence can we take? What testimony can we give? What difference can we make? We started out by identifying that we have to refute fear. We've got to be courageous. We've heard a lot about courage over the last couple of days. We are to keep a burning heart, fed by Scripture, the Word of God, to be anchored in a covenant community, to have people around us who will support us. Even when life out there gets hard, we can come back and find it's good in here and be fortified again to return. To do the work of shedding the light of Christ so that others can see that light and want to enter it. To testify with gentleness and reverence. It's all about inflection, isn't it? Today we talk about embodying hope. And next week we will conclude on Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to talk about let flow rivers of living water. So today we talk about hope. The Ephesians writer says, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the age to come. I like what Michael Bush of Erskine Theological Seminary says about this passage. Adjectives and adverbs carry much of the weight, lifting abstract and spiritual-sounding concepts higher and higher until the reader is unsure precisely what has been said, but feels certain it is significant. Right? That has been how I have experienced this text every time I read it, even though I've done a Bible study on it. It just sweeps us up, doesn't it? And we're not sure where it's taking us, but we think, oh, this is good. Yes, something significant has been said. And whether we get every detail or not, it inspires us. And that inspiration leads us to hope. To comprehend this inspiring prayer and understand the nature of the hope, we go back to the triumphal entry. That splendid day when Jesus' disciples watched as he entered the city of God to claim his throne and their own place with him. Jesus had invited them to leave their routine lives and carried them then through 3 years of unexpected, interesting, engaging, confusing, challenging, mind-blowing experiences and lessons. Did you get all that? He has given every indication that he was the promised one, the Messiah. And now this Messiah would culminate in the restoration of the kingdom for which they'd all been waiting and longing. And then they slammed into Good Friday, an inexplicable day that dashed those hopes. The future they thought was at hand evaporated, and what now did their lives mean? Could they go back after all of this? What was the future if it wasn't with this Messiah? Nothing then prepared them for what? Easter morning. Jesus had tried to tell them, but they just couldn't absorb what he said. Jesus rises from the grave, joins them for meals, spends time with them, and then takes them to a mountaintop only to leave them again. But this time is different. This time, the text tells us, Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he will lead you, and he said to them, you will be clothed with power from on high, baptized by the Holy Spirit. So this time, they returned to Jerusalem very happy and spent their time in the temple praising God. Praising God because Jesus didn't say to them what Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, but Jesus conveyed to them the same truth. I'm sure that experience in that mountaintop conversation was very much like the experience the two had in the road to Emmaus, where at the end their hearts were burning because they finally got it. They weren't equipped yet to live it out altogether, but they certainly got it. And that led to their joy that God's immeasurable power had been at work all along, and that they would be enlightened, and that that enlightenment would equip them to know the hope to which they were called. So we have the triumphal entry, we have Good Friday, we have Easter, we have the Ascension, the highs and the low, those hope-inspiring, hope-dashing events mirror the cadence of our own lives, do they not? We have triumphal entry times, and we have Good Friday times. Our lives are mapped by times when God is close and our way is clear and joy and a sense of well-being surrounds us, when God feels far away and our way is mired with doubt, followed by a fresh awakening of God's goodness and love. You, who are in middle and high school, are just now entering into this cycle of life. It's so tempting to conclude at your age that whatever misery you experience now will never end. It will never be better. Your outcome is doomed, and that there is nothing hopeful in your future. Nothing could be farther from the truth. I don't know if you watched 13 Reasons Why, but Hannah concluded that there was nothing for her, and it ended in tragedy. But you're not alone in feeling that way sometimes. Everyone in this room has as well. What we all, young or old, would do well to remember is that our hope is not grounded on the ups and the downs of our lives. Though having gone through a few of those cycles can help you hold steady because you know, well, it won't always be like this. No, the grounding of our hope is God and the work God has accomplished through Christ. And Ephesians tells us that God gives us, each and every one of us, grace, peace, spiritual blessings, forgiveness, redemption, knowledge of God's will, and inheritance, the Holy Spirit, wisdom. And that through Christ, the presence of the Holy Spirit, we have the ability to remain faithful, to remain hopeful, that we are showered with spiritual blessings and can comprehend what God does. That God chooses us, seeks us, longs for us. We don't often think about God's unrequited love, do we? Longing for our full attention, our devotion, and we get preoccupied and distracted, and here's God longing for us, seeking to give us everything that's written in the texts. And then in the light of this, we are to, what? Believe. To walk in a manner worthy of God's great grace and work. What? How? How do we do this? It says with humility, with gentleness, with patience with others, even when they really, really irritate us. patience with others, and with a spirit of unity, to seek wisdom, to love, even when we don't feel like it, to choose to treat someone with love, and to exhibit goodness and righteousness. Ephesians tells us that there is nothing that is outside of God's reach, that all things are under Christ's authority. And so as we face times of darkening shadows, or think whatever hard thing is too much to bear, or that there will never be a better day, we can claim the Easter reality and the ascension promise of God who loves us and has all things in hand. All things in hand. In the words of Samuel Wells, a God of a pining, aching, longing, yearning heart, seeking to be with us now and always, and willing to go to any lengths to make it so. As we claim that truth, as we claim the hope it gives us, we will display hope. It will show up. And that hope, not wishful thinking, but the hope grounded on a holy God who keeps God's promises, is contagious. There was great sorrow last night in the vigil held at the MAX station. I don't know if any of you were able to attend it. There were last-minute changes to time and location. Recognition that there is great sorrow for this unnecessary tragedy. A little amount of anger at it, too, which is normal to be expected. But there was also hope. There was also an aspiration to be better, to call our city to something greater, to be a better people. And I invite us that when we see tragedies like that unroll, that our hope will activate and hyperdrive, and that we can be people who can emulate, embody that wonderful energy of all will be well, all will be well, and all will someday be well. It will make a difference. So I invite us to ponder these things that we have at our fingertips, in our heart, to be in this world. Thanks be to God who equips us for this work.